Hurricane Ian pushes the Bucs practices to Miami and may affect the game. This Sunday, we are going to take our first look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, flying solo on this episode. Of course, you can check out everything I'm doing over at SBNationsBucsNation.com. Make sure you follow everything on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at @JYarko_Bucs, my regular co-host David Harrison at DHarrison82. And shout out to Evan Klosky, who's normally here on a Wednesday. Of course, he is at EKloskyWTSP. Again, we thank you for making the Locked On Bucs podcast your first listen or view of the day. Today's episode brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. As I mentioned, normally on Wednesday, we have our WTSP Wednesday episodes with Evan Klosky. We get his thoughts from the previous week's game, and then we look ahead to the upcoming game. But of course, Hurricane Ian is affecting everything. So Evan is taking this episode off in preparation for that, and the Buccaneers are making some preparations of their own. So the Buccaneers traveled to Miami on Tuesday in order to utilize the Miami Dolphins practice facilities in preparation of Sunday night's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. As of this recording, the Buccaneers are still scheduled to play in Raymond James Stadium on Sunday night, but that situation obviously is a fluid one. According to the latest radar and reports that I checked out before recording, Hurricane Ian should hit Tampa on Thursday morning. Again, both myself and David hoping all of you in the area of Tampa, the surrounding areas, anyone within the path of Hurricane Ian, hope you stay safe. You've made the proper preparations. If you were told to evacuate, get out of there. This thing is looking more and more serious by the day, but I'm not a meteorologist. I am not here to break down a hurricane. I am, however, going to talk about how this hurricane is going to affect the Buccaneers this week. And this is not a normal week for anyone, but for an NFL team that is so built on routine, it is going to affect the Buccaneers, the fact that they have to pick up midweek and travel just for game preparations. Now, the Dolphins were kind enough to let them use the practice fields because the Dolphins are in Ohio getting ready to play the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night, but the Buccaneers cannot use the meeting rooms. They cannot use the film rooms. So they're practicing in one area. They're having to do film breakdowns, game planning, preparations, all those things in another area. It throws a huge wrench into a team and an operation that is so set on consistency, on routine, and it could have some effects on the game Sunday night. Now, it's incredibly unconventional for the Buccaneers to do what they are doing, but of course, it is in the best interest of everyone for them to do so. David, on yesterday's episode, threw out some ideas. If the game gets moved, that it could go to a couple of different places. Probably the most likely and the most obvious would be that this becomes a away game for the Buccaneers and they travel to Arrowhead. How that would work, I'm not really sure, but it certainly wouldn't work in the Buccaneers' favor. Of course, I'm sure some season ticket holders would be relatively upset, but given the severity of what they are dealing with, I think a lot of the season ticket holders have few more concerns than just a football game on a Sunday night. So again, this situation continues to be fluid. We will continue to talk about it and update it as best we can as new information comes available. But you would have to think that this is going to play a little bit into the psyche of Buccaneers players, and it's going to throw them off a little bit. And look, they're coming off of a hard loss against the Green Bay Packers, looking to get back on track. But the team across from them, who are going to be preparing like they normally would because this doesn't affect them in the least, might be a little bit more prepared and a little bit more upset at their loss on Sunday compared to what the Buccaneers are dealing with. So, again, it's a serious situation. It's a uprooting issue for a lot of people. The biggest concern, of course, is not a football game on Sunday. It's not where they practice on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. It's the safety and the health of all of those who will be affected by this hurricane. And again, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in the path of the storm. Hope everyone comes out of this thing unscathed. But as I mentioned, those Kansas City Chiefs coming off of a very difficult loss to the Indianapolis Colts, one that should have never happened to begin with. We are going to take our first look at the Kansas City Chiefs in this Super Bowl 55 rematch coming up in just a moment. But first, as you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people that you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks again for making Locked On Bucs your first listen every day. We are taking a look now at the Kansas City Chiefs, 2-1, coming off of a 20-17 loss to the Indianapolis Colts that was basically sparked by a taunting penalty. The Chiefs defense was getting off of the field after a Matt Ryan incompletion. And one of the Kansas City Chiefs started mouthing off and yelling some things, got the flag thrown, 15-yard penalty, automatic first down. And the Colts went on to take the lead following that penalty. A lot of you may have seen the Pat Mahomes and offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy got into what we will describe as a heated discussion as the Kansas City Chiefs were headed to the locker room for halftime. So some issues there. Andy Reid had to kind of step in the middle of the two guys during that conversation. But for a team that lost Tyreek Hill, came out looking like the most prolific offense in the NFL in week one, things have kind of leveled off for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's take a look at the defensive side of the ball first. The Chiefs are 17th in scoring defense, allowing 21.7 points per game through the first 3 weeks. They are 15th in passing defense, allowing 224.7 yards per game, and 9th in rush defense at 86.7 yards per game. So even if the Chiefs just give up their average points allowed per game, that would be the most points scored by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a game this season, which is terrifying. Anyway, on the offensive side of the ball, the Kansas City Chiefs are 4th in scoring offense at 29.3 points per game. Now, that's a little inflated because if you go back, I mentioned that they came out in week one looking like the most prolific offense in the league. They scored 44 points in week one against the Arizona Cardinals. They've scored 44 points in the last 2 weeks combined since then. So got off to a real hot start, but things mellowed out with the quickness. They are sixth in passing offense right now, averaging 281 yards per game, 22nd in rush offense, averaging 93 yards per game. I mentioned the loss of Tyreek Hill. He will be playing in Cincinnati on Thursday Night Football. And as you would expect, with the loss of Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce is the team's leading receiver with 230 yards, followed by free agent acquisition Juju Smith-Schuster, who has 178 yards. Their third leading receiver is their running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, with 115 yards. And then in fourth, and the only other player on their roster with over 100 total yards receiving in 3 weeks, is Marquez Valdez-Scantling with 105. For those of you that have listened to the show, watched the show, followed me on Twitter for any length of time, you all know how I feel about Marquez Valdez-Scantling, the man with bricks for hands, because he can't seem to ever catch anything ever. He'll have like one big catch and you're like, oh, there he is. And then he'll drop the next six. It's really, truly incredible to witness. The headliner for this one, of course, is going to be Patrick Mahomes. 8 touchdowns to just 1 interception. But the Chiefs are sitting there with a -1 turnover differential. They have 1 interception and 1 fumble recovery on the season as a defensive unit. But the offense has 1 interception and 2 lost fumbles. So, not scaring anyone with their ability to take the ball away, at least not the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been taking the ball away this season. They are currently tied for first in the NFL in total takeaways, and you hope to see that trend continue. The biggest concern for me for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be Travis Kelce. And you go back to the matchup in Super Bowl 55, when it was essentially Lavonte David's job to cover Travis Kelce, and he locked him down. There were some opportunities that Travis Kelce had that he missed on. There were some bad passes by Patrick Mahomes, no question about it. But there were some opportunities where Travis Kelce was open and flat out dropped the ball. In fact, there was a huge third down early in the game that the Chiefs could have kept moving the chains and getting into scoring range, and Travis Kelce flat out dropped the ball. So I expect to see a lot of Lavonte David on Travis Kelce again, but I would also expect to see some of these safeties come down, maybe show blitz, maybe line up in a position where they're almost like at the nickel corner spot, and all of a sudden they're the ones that drop back to cover Travis Kelce. There's going to be a lot of disguising going on. There's going to be a lot of versatility in those safeties that Todd Bowles is going to utilize. Last week, unfortunately, Antoine Winfield Jr. got beat on a big pass play to Alan Lazard. If he turns his head around on that huge gain, I can't remember exactly how many yards it was. If he just turns his head around, that's an interception. But we have seen some good things out of Antoine Winfield Jr. in coverage this year. We've also seen some really good things out of Logan Ryan, who did get the interception on Aaron Rodgers last week. I would expect to see him line up opposite of Travis Kelce a time or two on Sunday. Then you take a look at Juju Smith-Schuster, who we've seen in Pittsburgh can be an extremely dangerous receiver, but when he's asked to be the guy, he tends to struggle. Good news for him in Kansas City, he may be the de facto number one wide receiver, but he's not the guy. Travis Kelce is the guy, and it has opened up some opportunities for Juju Smith-Schuster to start to try to regain that form that he had in Pittsburgh for a couple of seasons. And overall, he's been relatively effective. Again, he's averaging just a shade under 60 yards per game receiving, but he's a guy that Patrick Mahomes trusts to be able to move the chains on a third down. He can be a deep threat. He's not a Tyreek Hill deep threat, but he can be that deep threat. He can also make plays with his legs if you get him the ball in space, a short, quick crossing route or a slant route. letting him get the ball quickly and utilize those legs to make a play and turn 6 yards into 16 or 26 yards relatively quickly. What I have been really impressed by with the Kansas City Chiefs is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's really starting to kind of find his footing in the NFL. No pun intended, but he's a guy who's almost been forgotten the last couple of years when he should have had a lot of opportunity to contribute to the offense. He's been a good pass catcher since he came out of LSU a couple of years ago. And I'm sure a lot of you do remember I was pounding the table hoping that the Buccaneers would get Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he's an effective all-around running back, an all-around weapon, and the Chiefs are finally starting to utilize him in that fashion. Now, they don't have a ton of success in the run game right now. As I mentioned, they're 22nd in the NFL with just 93 yards per game. But you know what? The Buccaneers are 25th in the NFL in rushing yards per game. So the Chiefs are doing a little bit better than the Buccaneers in that aspect. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is no longer just simply a running threat. They've begun to utilize him in the passing game, especially when Patrick Mahomes starts to get in trouble. He's become that safety valve that Mahomes can get the ball out quickly and allow Clyde Edwards-Helaire to pick up a couple of yards here and there. As I said, he is their third leading receiver on this team with 115 receiving yards. So just a little bit under 40 receiving yards per game for Edwards-Helaire. It adds another dimension to the Kansas City Chiefs offense that is missing that speed of Tyreek Hill. So plenty to keep an eye on regarding the Kansas City Chiefs this coming week. They still have plenty of playmakers, even without Tyreek Hill. You just have to take a look at the Buccaneers defense that started off a little shaky against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday and hope that the Buccaneers start off with the form that they showed in the second half of that game against Green Bay, rather than falling behind the eight ball and having to claw their way back. Tom Brady on his Let's Go show on Sirius XM radio even said that we're putting way too much pressure on our defense to keep us in these games. And he was very thankful for what the defense did and keeping them in that game. But it was a lot of missed opportunities by the offense that kept putting more and more pressure on the defense to keep Green Bay from scoring, which, to their credit, they answered that call. They answered that bell and were able to keep Green Bay out of scoring range. No field goals, no anything right after that Vita Vea forced fumble of Aaron Jones. So this game is a little bit concerning because you do have the magic of Patrick Mahomes and his ability to improvise and create something out of nothing. We're going to talk a little bit more about that coming up in just a moment. Wrapping things up here on a Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucs podcast, and I'm going to drop in a little key to victory in this segment. I was actually on a AFC West focused podcast the other day, and I apologize, I have to look up the name real quick, the Wild Wild West podcast. And what they do is they bring on people to talk about the, you know, what these teams need to do to beat these AFC West teams that they're facing that particular week. So Rich reached out to me, asked me to come on and talk about the Buccaneers, and I did what they called the three-point stance, which are the three keys for the Buccaneers in order to get a win. And one of the things that I talked about, which I feel is the most important thing for the Buccaneers to do this Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs, pressure Patrick Mahomes and do it all day long. Todd Bowles was able to come up with a formula to beat Patrick Mahomes in Super Bowl 55 after the Chiefs had beaten the Buccaneers earlier in that regular season. Andy Reid is going to be prepared for that style of play from the Buccaneers defense. God knows he's probably watched that game, you know, 100 times by now, and they are going to be focusing on breaking down that film once again leading into this week. A lot of the players are still the same. You still have Antoine Winfield Jr. and Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean and Devin White and Lavonte David and Vita Vea and all these guys that gave Patrick Mahomes these fits. Shaq Barrett, again, being one of them. No Jason Pierre-Paul, no Ndamukong Suh, but Joe Tryon Soyinka has gotten better and better by the week, and he is really beginning to show signs that he can be a, I'm not going to say elite. I mean, obviously, we hope that Tryon Soyinka gets to that point, but he can be a very good pass rusher in this league, and we see him get a little bit better every time he's on the field. It gives a lot of promise and a lot of optimism to the future. We saw Logan Hall finally get his first career sack against Aaron Rodgers. You have Nacho out there who can make some plays, but you have to keep the pressure on Mahomes. You have to force him to try to improvise and utilize your speed to get him off of his game, throwing errant passes, creating takeaways. In Super Bowl 55, Patrick Mahomes was sacked 3 times. He was hit 10 times, threw 2 interceptions. The Kansas City Chiefs ended up going 3-for-13 on third downs. They went 1-for-3 on fourth downs. And as you all know, the Kansas City Chiefs scored 0 touchdowns in that game. Once again, that kind of defensive output is going to be vital for a Buccaneers team that has to rely on their defense, shades of the Dungy era Buccaneers. They have to rely on their defense right now to keep them in games. Now, you have Mike Evans returning. You might have Julio Jones back. Not sure about Chris Godwin. We're not going to get reports or updates from the beat writers throughout practices because it is closed to the media. They did not make the trip to Miami. So media availability will be with Todd Bowles and some players and coaches via Zoom, a la the COVID year. So we will get some updates on Chris Godwin, though his status is very much unknown at this moment in time. There's no question that the return of Mike Evans helps this offense, especially when you pair Mike Evans with the recent utilization of Russell Gage and getting him involved, making him a viable threat now, where that rapport, that trust is starting to be built between Tom Brady and Russell Gage. Now you bring back the number one guy, and all of a sudden your offense can get a little bit more creative. It can get a little more two-dimensional, and you have a guy out there that is a 100% legitimate threat as a wide receiver one in the National Football League. So it's a lot to ask of this defense to be able to get after Patrick Mahomes the way they did back in Super Bowl 55. It's not going to look the same. They may not get to him as often, but that is the Buccaneers' best chance to win this game. They have to keep it low scoring. They have to keep the pressure on the Chiefs. They have to keep the pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Evan Klosky, shout out to my guy. He said it leading up to the season that in the early part of the year, we are going to be talking a lot more about how good the defense is rather than what the offense is doing. And he absolutely nailed it. You hope to see some of these guys start to return from injury a little bit. Hopefully Donovan Smith is back sooner than later. Hopefully Luke Getteke is improving and starting to grasp the NFL game a little bit better, because that protection for Tom Brady has not been great through the first 3 weeks. They're going to have a few issues with the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday if that protection isn't tightened up. It makes it difficult for the offense to get things going when Brady doesn't have the time that he's accustomed to in Tampa to get the ball down the field to his playmakers. With that, I bid you all a fair adieu. Thank you again for making Locked On Bucks your first listen every day. Now make your second listen the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It is free and available wherever you get your podcast. David will be back on tomorrow's episode with Crossover Thursdays. Not sure which of the Chiefs hosts he will be speaking with, but Crossover Thursdays are a must listen each and every week. They are going to be able to talk about the Chiefs with much more information than I had. But hopefully this was a nice leadoff point to get you all ready for Chiefs Week. If you have any questions, topics, comments, of course, you can give us a call at 813-444-5841 or send us an email to lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. Check out everything that I'm doing over at bucksnation.com. And of course, make sure you are following along on Twitter at lockedonbucks, at @JRCO_bucks, and at @DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Fire those cannons. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.